So good.
Blog Talk Radio.
Word, biblios, many books, taken through the ages, ageless, timeless, prophets, apostles, epistles, the gospel, the righteous, the hostile, the woeful, the wonderful.
On the Sabbath days or on Sundays, it's easy to find me. It's most likely up in your churches where I might be. It's millions over this earth who would tell you that they like me. But realistically, half of them take what I say lightly.
Yo, they just push me off the table like they don't need me. Look me in my face like they don't see me.
What?
Granny's off the church and she won't leave me. Then she comes home from church, but she won't read me.
My name, King James Version. Born in 1611. I was made to teach brethren how to reach the kingdom of heaven. I might not be saying the same thing as your reverend. The quote was broke, but it ain't the way it's living.
You probably catch me at your grandma's house, open the Psalms. I was like your grandpa's spouse over in Nam. You catch me in a small jailhouse over in Guam. I speak about the hotel from Noah to John.
Now travel through my pages, learn about the ancients. Life and death is in me, but some don't wanna hear me. Misuse me to conquer many lands. Many men have been slaves for who I am. The saints' blood on their hands.
Governments attempted to get rid of me and still trying. Society refused to listen to me and still dying. I give counsel to disciples out here still grinding. Remind them that the place they wanna be is still dying.
Shelf missionary, I could school the school books plus Dr. Seuss in the dictionary. What's written is power, I'm sitting in the parlor. I'm the only book closed, but I open at any hour.
It's always a nappy head kid with a gold tooth, with his hand on my head saying he swear to tell the whole truth.
Yo dude, they got me on a show called Dusty. Living godly is a must, but don't nobody trust me.
I teach about the old trails, mortars the bomb, seven plagues, seven seals, vultures the swarm, rage in the field, soldiers, storms, the Cummins, the horns, you've been warned.
A lot of preachers want me on their team just to make a profit, when all I want to do is give you words of the sacred prophets, so my creators can see believers making progress. I warn them of the dangers and loving material objects.
Open me up, pray to the God of all men, the God of Jacob, Isaac, the God of Abraham. May open up his plan, why he came as a man. Got 12 and spread his truth to every nation through the land.
Yo, we kicked it, you was once sober, but you won't show my name, cause when your friends came, you keep turning my front over. What's this on my back? Use me as a cup coaster, come closer, let me do my job like I'm supposed
Yo,
to.
Yo, bro, there's 66 books in me, good and plenty. But up north, they rip out pages to puff sensey. But the saints study intensely, cause there's riches in me. But to the wicked, I ain't worth
And you can run around wildin', looking in the sky. Or you can read me, choose life or die. Who's right but I, man, a tooth for an eye. The water's broke loose, now the fire's gonna fry.
I'm the Bible.
I'm the Bible. I hold the keys to survival. I'm here to strengthen God's saints, and the water's vital.
I'm the Bible.
I'm the Bible. I'm telling you, stop serving these idols. Ain't no other God, the Lord holding that title.
I'm the Bible.
I'm the Bible. Original holy scrolls, comfort lonely souls with the oracles of the moral code.
I'm the Bible.
I'm the Bible. I'm trying to save many men, but any who pretend his kingdom, they won't be getting there. I'm the number one selling book of all time. I done made billions. But if the people don't understand, I ain't happy. So come get with me, sit with me, and I'ma show you mysteries.
All right. Welcome once again to another episode of Sword of Truth with the Bible Talk. I do apologize. I know a lot of people were expecting Tazapod being a great teacher, mentor, coach, brother, motivational speaker, just all around great guy, poet. He's a great brother. He had actually, because we are still in captivity, most of us are still in captivity. He said he had to go to work today. He had to go to, with us here in Albuquerque, we was going to fill in for him in this morning, but again, work had to be done. So we're coming in tonight to go ahead and get this show done tonight. Again, so we're going to go ahead and welcome everybody to the show again, and please forgive us. It's not Tazza Pops. We're not going to catch up on the news or any of the way he does his exciting and his great podcast that a lot of people are tuning into.
Right.
But we'll definitely catch up back catch back up with him next Tuesday. All right. Being a part of the ISBHPK, the Israelite School of Biblical History and Practical Knowledge, we do have schools set up in San Antonio, Texas. You can catch them Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at their location at 4444 Walsham, Suite 201, San Antonio, Texas, 78217. Again, that's Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And then they also have a Sabbath class that they do every Saturday. And that's local time there in San Antonio. We have a school also in Houston, Stafford, Texas. And you got that address there, Gabar?
Yes, sir. It is 231 FM, 1092, Stafford, Texas. The zip code is 77477.
All right. And that's for our school in Houston, in the Houston, Texas area. They have classes. They actually have classes 6 days out the week. But you can catch them on YouTube at ISBHBK Houston. All right, that's ISBHBK Houston. Again, you can catch them on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Saturdays. They do the Sabbath service on Saturdays. But Mondays and Wednesdays from 7 to 9, again, local time, you can catch up with them or on YouTube on those days there. Then we have our school in Virginia, which is located at 35-something Granby.
It's actually 2610 Granby.
Yeah, 26, go ahead. Say it out.
2610 Granby Street, Norfolk. 23517.
All right, you can catch them. And they have YouTube classes every Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday from 7 p.m. Actually, they're from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. You catch them on YouTube as they're getting down there in Virginia, Northern Virginia. And then we have a school in Rochester.
And that address is 1600 Lilel Avenue, Rochester, New York, 146606. You can reach actually Priest Zion at 757-762-3917. Do you want me to go ahead and give the other numbers for the other ones? Kwata Zop in our Stafford location, it's 303-557-8979. And Peace Kazakia in Virginia, his number is 757-300-4047.
Cool. So these are our locations, but we are affiliated with the Reservoir Demashra Yasha Allah. We also affiliated, we don't reject any Hebrew Israelites. I'm just trying to wake up this sleeping nation. One of the greatest, the highest calling that you can find in the Bible is to be a teacher, to be able to bring back the nation of Israel back to the Most High. Mm-hmm. You know, there is no higher calling. So any Israelite group that is out there trying to wake up in their ministry, the 12 tribes of Israel, and return them back to the Most High, so that our Lord and Savior, our big brother, our King of Kings, Lord of Lords, who some brothers deem the Hamashiach, the Messiah, as the world knows as Jesus Christ, we call it Yahweh Shai, as we patiently, eagerly await his return to save us from the hand of our enemies. So with that, again, tonight I'm joined by the brother Bonabad, by the brother Gabar Gawa. I think we have a couple of brothers coming in to this class. Don't forget to check out sweetambiance.com to help support the ministry. Don't forget Eastern Fragrances in San Antonio to support the ministry. And also Pure Therapy. Okay, they're willing to go small. They help support the ministry. So with that, I guess I'm going to turn the reins over to Priest Bonabad. And shalom.
So shalom, brothers. I must have got to, excuse me, my voice is there, but it ain't there. So I'm going to get close to the mic and do it that way, man. But I wanted to continue somewhat of the discussion that we had with the class last night, because after class was over last night, we kind of went on into a discussion about, you know, the examples and the men that we followed and the things that we submitted to and the journeys that we submitted to and how that really developed and built some of the men that we do see today, even some of the brothers that to every one of the brothers that you mentioned, you know, from the schools that they're in now, there was a beginning that started from. There was a road that they went down, and from now having to now be men, where we had to submit to a program. We had to submit to a system. We had to submit to men that came in before us and the Most High gave this knowledge to. When it was our, when it was their turn to be the first ones the Most High gave it to, we were able to pick it up from them and grow. It was just our time, their time to our time to now as men come in, you look at now it being their time. But even for them coming in, there's a, we can still look at things and we can see there's a sequence to what the Most High is doing.
And just real quick for those, last night, I have a new computer, thanks to the brother Unawathon here in Albuquerque. And what happened was we actually stopped broadcasting 2 hours and 41 minutes into the class. So what I'm about to talk about right now, a lot of y'all might wonder where you're coming from. And I'm not trying to tell that as a shot or whatever. But from yesterday, we was going over about how are we promoted by the Most High. The promotion does come from the Most High. And that there's an order that the Most High uses. And we went all the way back to Moses coming out of Egypt.
Right.
And when we came out of Egypt, we came out in armies. And that we understand that the Most High is a man of war. And that the Most High, when we say the Lord of hosts, that he is the Lord of armies. And that's how the Most High, that in keeping things decently and in order, that there's a militaristic style of how the Most High gets things done. And there's an order to how things get done. And that's what was coming on yesterday. But with this, it's off at 2 hours and 41 minutes. We kept going for another 30 minutes thinking that we were still broadcasting. And then Bada Bada and Gabar continued the conversation even longer. So I just wanted to, for anybody wondering, did you really miss anything, what have you? You did. But recap on that. So that as we're coming into today's class, this is where we're going into what Bada Bada's bringing up.
Right.
About the order and how things were done. But not getting away from, just real quick as a reminder, for those who didn't be able to catch the full class yesterday, that promotion comes from the Most High. And as we was going over some examples in the Bible, we were seeing how Joshua became a great leader because he was mentored for 40 years by Moses, that he never left the tabernacle, that he really dedicated himself and submitted himself to Moses' teaching, his leadership. And he took all of Moses' positive a great leader. And we was going through, starting to go through examples throughout the Bible about how men submit to leadership, how men, when they submit, how they become great in the eyes of the Most High. But how you have a lot of brothers that don't understand this process and they want to just make a name for themselves. It's all about, I'm a grown-ass man. I did this. I put this together. The Tony Montana, this is me. I did this. I'm great. And all y'all are beneath me. None of y'all can get on my level. You know, the basic common hip-hop mentality that is prevalent in our nation today, that for the, what is it y'all ain't doing that y'all ain't getting blessed? What is it y'all ain't doing to please the Most High? So just to give a little recap as we lead into today, that you see a lot of successful brothers in the troop. And when I say a lot of successful brothers, I'm not talking about just like IUIC or the popular, real populated churches, but brother Banks, the brother Kazakia, who, and that threw him under the bus, but he's not afraid to admit it, who never got a high school diploma. He never got a GED. He didn't go to that one college course, but it's submitting to his elders, submitting to his teachers. First and foremost, being his father. And then his father making sure that Kazaki was exposed to many different teachers, many different elders, if you will, in the different fields that they were in. And we can see that because Zaki is probably one of the most well-rounded brothers in the troop today. That's obvious from how many camps he opens up, and the support system he's created for the different cities that he's in. And he's in some major cities. It could be Houston, Norfolk, Rochester, New York. The brothers are doing some big things. So that if you're a young man, you want to come back and also submit yourself to leadership. You want to submit yourself to the training so that you might become great in the eyes of Mosiah, not just great in the eyes of America. Okay? So with that.
Let's go here, man. Let's go to Psalms 119 and verse 99. That's what I want to start at. Psalms 119 and verse 99. Read that, DeBar.
Psalms chapter 119.
Mm-hmm.
And verse 99.
Go ahead.
And it reads, I have more understanding than all my teachers.
Really?
For thy testimonies are my meditation.
So when you read this, David looked at all of the great men, all of the great teachers and the brothers that were there that we established him, built him up from his father to all his advisors, to everything else. Every great brother, and this is where we're going into the order of things, because every great man was taught. He was taught, developed, he was invested into. And because he was taught, developed, and invested into, then what happens is this man is able to call back on those testimonies, call back on the things that he watched his teachers do to be able to get through some of the things that they're going through, some of the roads that a man had to go down. The journey is what develops those testimonies, so you're able to now lean back on when we went through this, we went through that, and this is what we did, we went through it. But David said, I became greater than my teachers because I had their testimonies. Go ahead.
Verse 100. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts.
So you're looking at everything that made a man great was what he allowed somebody else to teach him, allowed somebody else to instill into him, develop. The more you allow someone to now give you this, invest into you, build your faith, build your patience, build your love, build your endurance, build your temperance, the more you allowed that to happen, you became greater because somebody instilled precepts. You had things that you could call back on that forged you through one thing. This, I remember this, and we got us through this. And the first thing I have to sit back and look at, I always have to look at Carl Cobb for that. I always praise him for that, because that was a journey that we were going down, that every time something was going on, I was always able. Because a lot of brothers, I didn't go down roads with, but him always was good for doing one thing, reminding you, remember when we went through this and what we did to get through this. But that's what made him great. The precepts that I did have, the testimonies that I had, I was able to now use that to be able to get through and force through what I'm going through the next. I didn't give up because I had an answer. A lot of men give up because I don't got an answer for the next step that I'm going to do. I'm stuck. I got breakdowns. I got a class. I may have had time. But what would have gotten me through the next step, then the next step, was those testimonies, was those precepts, those times that I could fall back, remember what we went through to be able to now forge us to the next step. Go ahead.
Psalms 119 and 101.
Read.
I have refrained my feet from every evil way.
Read.
That I might keep thy word.
But this is what helped refrain my feet from every evil way. I had the scriptures. I had those testimonies. I had, I could call to remembrance things that were said, things that we did that got us out of this situation, that got us out of that situation. But now, there was a lot of negative that I didn't get involved in because I still had these things to call back to my remembrance. And the reason I'm going down this route is because I believe that most, when he's a young man, his idea of what leadership is just being able to tell somebody what to do and not leading them in an arena where a man understands that these are the things that you're going to have to call on when you're put in a position of leadership. You're going to need those precepts. Excuse me. You're going to need those testimonies. And then you look at a lot of men. I was mad about this, or I was quitting. So the one thing I did abandon, I abandoned those testimonies. I abandoned those precepts. I abandoned the lessons that I had learned that were supposed to now be used to now get me through the things that I'm going through. Read on.
102. I have not departed from thy judgment.
Go ahead.
For thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste.
He said, how sweet are what?
Thy words unto my taste.
But the fact that I stayed, or the fact that you stayed and submitted to this method, to this system, to these precepts, to this idea, to this teaching, I stayed and I submitted. So now when I'm calling back and I'm going through something and I'm able to call back on those experiences, now they're sweet. Oh, this is what faith was about. This is what it meant to have order. This is what it meant to submit to go ahead and lock down and give myself to the things that I was taught. You're not going to see the sweetness of it until you have to use it in your time. Everything that we do now is a preparation. Everything that we do as elders, we're trying to prepare men for the things that they're going to go through, for the battles and roads that they're going to go through. So if I'm preparing this man, I'm supposed to be continually giving him a testimony, something that he can see and say, damn, that's why he did it like that. That's why he was talking about this and he was doing it this way. Because I can go back and remember when we first got to school. I remember when we first had to get to school and it was Guadalupe Street. We were sitting, building up money. I mean, we built up like, I don't know, 15 grand or 10 grand and we were supposed to put down on a building to get into the building. And what he was talking about was faith, because I wanted, the lady like he was screwing us around. Coco God was like, listen, we're going to stay here, we're going to deal with her, and if we lose it, we lose it. For some damn reason, we didn't lose it. But whatever the hell happened, the most I had the spirit where brothers dropped, this came through, we walked right back in there to get the building and the house with 20 grand. Don't know where it came from, don't know how it, but it was, that wasn't about the school. That was a lesson for me to understand that in this time, have faith in the Father. But it was those testimonies that I can recall back on now, that I'm supposed to call back on to remember, this is how you got through this. Don't be a dummy now. It's not trying to do your own damn thing. That don't work. That's how your feet end up in a lot of negative. Because you're trying to go now because you're mad at this person. Or you didn't like the situation that went on. Now you're trying to create a new platform, like you're going to create some new testimonies. Now you're going to create some new... No. That was there for you to take it to now be able to use when you needed it, when it was your turn to now forge in to your leadership, and that person was now forging out. I passed all this down. What made me help you understand that was we read about Moses and Joshua. We read in the Apocrypha where Joshua was the successor, successor to Moses. But the most I had Moses getting him ready. Like a lot of elders are doing. They've been trying to invest in them to get them ready. So now this man can be the what?
The successor.
The successor to that man. But you carry this man with you. You, there's no way you couldn't carry them with you. Your whole development is based off his precepts. Your whole development in the spirit is based off his testimonies. You're gonna make mistake after mistake after mistake because it doesn't work that way.
Just say this. As we talk about the word precepts, I just want to make sure that we keep it in mind that it's not just somebody's words and somebody's thoughts as we talk about precepts. That we're talking about, I followed this teacher from the scriptures he used to get through the problems and issues he was going through. Because the problem with a lot of people is we get starstruck and we get into man-pleasing. And now it's about just what somebody said. And it's all the scripture says the fear of men, the fear of the Lord is taught by the precept of men and not by the actual fear of the Most High. That people get into man-pleasing, and I figure if I just please this man, it's not about scriptures. Like we were talking about last night, we know that the wisdom that Joshua got is from what Moses pumped into him, and there were no scriptures at that time, obviously. But today we have people I don't want to say his name to embarrass.
Right.
But he was such a LeBron.
Yeah.
He was such a
Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan fanatic that he just made sure, even as an Israelite, he patterned everything about himself as Michael Jordan. And that's, you can't pass that on to somebody to continue them in the faith of the Most High.
There you go.
That, and then for a lot of people, because they don't study, and that's what I want to get into this. Because people don't study the scriptures and why they're going through, but they're going through doing what they're doing, as soon as a leader fucks up, does something stupid, does something wicked, they have a flaw, that's where a lot of the bitterness comes from. And now everybody wants to throw the Bible away.
Right.
Everybody doesn't want to deal with the truth, deal with the Bible, because of how this leader made sure people got his work and how he did things, but there were no scriptures.
Right.
And we get to where, but it's sad, but we're seeing camp leaders today now, and I'm not trying to get no camp banging, we see camp leaders now having reality shows. Where's the glory to Christ in the Most High? That now it's about, well, if you want to have this type of lifestyle, then do what I do, but it ain't based on no scriptures.
Right.
But because they say, and the Most High is blessing me, that's what I was leaving earlier, that what are y'all doing wrong that y'all ain't living the way I'm living? As opposed to, these are the scriptures that when I was going through a trial, tribulation, and I was going through, like Philippians 1:29 says, not only is it given in our behalf to believe in Christ, but also suffer for his name. From 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3, that we're supposed to be able to endure hardness as good soldiers of Yahweh Shah. As we're going through the hard things in our lives, what scriptures are being used and the example of using these scriptures are being used that are still in their congregations?
That's it.
And the people that are following them. That these are the scriptures that are being used along with my example of how to use the scriptures.
Right.
So I just want to make sure that we're there.
You're right on point.
But that's one pet peeve. Another pet peeve I have, people want to make sure people know, because this one, Ariella, if we're going back to our teachers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ariella would always get pissed off that the congregation or where we're teaching, we get more caught up into a joke. We get more caught up into a punchline.
Right.
And now all the Bible lesson that was going on got thrown out the window.
Mm-hmm.
And now, when they got to try and share something with somebody, they got to share a punchline, but not a scripture. They're going to share a joke, but not a scripture.
Huh.
They're going to share their own life experience without a scripture. So now, how can I go teach that to somebody else? How can I now get somebody in the book, and I'll show them, these are the scriptures we got to use to get through these things that we're going through, as opposed to, well, that's just what he did, and I'm following him, but we're imitating, but not able to duplicate that same spirit. We saw that last for Barnabas, and everybody knows Barnabas is a great man, and I love it. That's why I still stay with this man to this day. But one thing that we got into contact with particularly coming into San Antonio, since we were talking about San Antonio, right, and Kawakaw. But I'm going to say more so with you even. The necessity to make sure, as brothers was working the mall, of working the business, the necessity of how to use scriptures to fight your battles.
Right.
How to use scripture to get through the things you were going through. And it was hours upon hours upon hours. And the Most High made it very successful. And we've seen with others now thinking about a business plan.
God.
Others thinking about it's
EIN about, number
or
LLC.
But I got an EIN number, so I'm going to get EIN number. So I'm going to get the same result. Has a beautiful wife. So I'm going to get a beautiful wife. So I'm going to have the same result. Bada-bada is driving a cyber car. I can have the same result, but it's not understanding what was the spirit behind. How, what scriptures were being, what precepts were being applied
right.
for this to happen? What scriptures, what instruction from the Most High was being used to get inside, to clean your own mind up, as well as the example he had from Kawakaw, the right. example he had from Ariella,
yeah.
the example he had from the elders.
Even yourself, because like I was telling Jabbar that a lot of, even for those that may know me and what I've been going through and what I had to go through, a lot of what my foundation went back to was sitting back down in class. It was an outcome. Sitting in blog talk classes or just sitting in that class. I didn't like what was being said all the time because it would always go against something I was feeling inside of me, right? And at that point, you know when you're off? Because every little thing that's shown you in the Bible is a cutscene. Pattern with men all the time. They get up. There'll be a whole lot of bathroom breaks. Like you would almost think, dude, like, do you have a bad bladder or something? Like, he's showing his patience a lot here.
Maybe you should get a catheter.
Right. All of a sudden he's fumbling because he can't find the scripture. You like, you just had your finger on it just a minute ago. And we did talk but a couple of seconds just to, so you can go on. I don't know how you lost that scripture.
But it got hot.
Oh, yeah.
It got hot. Hold it.
Right, brother. Or, you know what? Like I said, when we get to processing, those are the roads. I sit back and say, man, the classes, that when you got that teacher going, he don't know. And it's funny, too, because it was a time when I was trying to run everywhere. So I went to class, long talk here. I was going, my cousin Darren, they're over GOCC. Now I'm going to Sabbath then. And I'm sitting in the class, and they don't even teach. They just send you a pamphlet.
Yeah.
Still on the pamphlet. If I pull up my scripture, they cut it down. Y'all know take the place for me. You're right. Because the problem is, you don't want to submit to what it is, that correction that's needed. Because honestly, I'm believing the correction is the fact that somebody's giving me back to those precepts that were used. Because battles don't really change. Going through this, the same thing they're going through, this ain't new because we went through this before. But what was used was scriptures to get through that battle, right?
Yeah, so, and gave us that experience.
Right, you think about Cali, you think about if it's cast to split, then it splits all the time. It's not the split that's the problem. It's the fact that now when it's time for me to forge through, I didn't use none of the precepts that I was taught.
Or the solutions.
None of the, and I'm going to say precepts, because every time somebody told you, you got to forgive, because the Most High said forgive. I don't want to forgive. Somebody told you, you had to submit. You had to get in order. You had to now get back, and you had to now dedicate yourself to studying and being that book. Because that was told to you first day one you came into the truth. So in your problem or not your problem, somebody was still gearing you back to the Bible. Somebody was still gearing.
Two days ago was about how positive you always are. About like when problems come, you always like deal with the time crunches with some of the scheduling, and the nervousness is like, man, it's gonna be tight. We don't know. We like, no, don't worry about it. We're gonna make it. Don't worry about it. It's gonna be there. Don't worry about it. It's gonna come through, and it's refreshing. But to come back and see, well, how does he get like that? It's not just because he sits up drinks. That's about brother Bob, whatever.
Right.
But now, what scriptures are being used that when you feel the doubt, Because the person might think that Barabbas never feels doubt. A person might think that Barabbas never feels rejection, or that Barabbas never feels anger, whatever. But like he's just bringing up right now,
right?
What did he use to help get him back to looking positive? He had to use scripture. He had to go cut himself.
God.
That when because the scripture says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. And for a lot of us, we never seen anybody use the scriptures to fight their battles. All we've seen is people get mad and give up and quit.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen people. We've had some great mighty men in Israel talking about it's y'all's turn, my turn, I'm done. And make sure you look out for yourself, because if you don't look for yourself, you can be left high and dry.
Right.
That this person stopped using scriptures to get his head right. And now it was just about emotion. Those emotions are spirits. Those emotions, it says, we must not against flesh and blood, against principalities. That, and I want to make sure we understand, you're going to get hit with emotions.
Right.
There's no way you're going to be in this work and not get hit with emotions. But now, do you use a scripture and the experience of somebody you saw go through that experience using the scriptures to get past what you want? How did I get past that when this person let me down? Somebody used to forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
How do I get to the point of forgiveness? Because we can, like, a lot of people have the scripture, forgive your brother, but what they don't have is an elder or somebody they saw go through something and see them forgive.
Brother, that's not what I was going to say.
They don't have that. That's what I'm talking about. I want to make sure you understand, we're not having the slight at people who just have scriptures and they're not doing the work of the Most High, but it takes you to the next level. If I have to deal with forgiveness, first off, have I ever seen somebody besides just quoting it? Because people been in church.
That's right. We're Puerto Rican, but
people been in church. People got Hallmark cards. We got all types of shit. About forgiveness, but have I ever seen somebody get offended? If your brother smites you in the cheek, now how do I stand there again in front of this man, with this man, and forgive? So they have the scripture and the example. This is what makes great leaders, and this is how a person now gets promoted. What we don't have is, it says the Jews require a sign.
Okay.
It also says that one thing we haven't done, we haven't built for the Most High, but not according to knowledge. And that we don't submit to the righteousness of the Most High, but we establish our own righteousness. We have to understand, this program that Most High set up, the elders that become great elders is because they're going through things. How did Christ help when it came time for the apostles to be martyred, how were they able to get past the point that they know they was about to die?
They was winning the whole time.
And then they saw the scripture how I have used. They endure and push past, I'm about to die. They saw the real emotions. They saw the blood dripping from his brow. They saw how depressed he was, but they saw how he used scriptures and how he got past that to accept, I got to get up on this cross and I got to die.
Okay.
They see him thrown in jail and beaten. So how was Peter able to now be able to go to jail and get beaten and deal with it in a proper mindset? Getting beaten ain't a good feeling. This ain't Fight Club.
Right.
When that Brad Pitt with Edward Norton or whatever, first off, there is no Fight Club, to get beaten by jailers? That was not a happy feeling. That was not a good feeling. That wasn't no powder puff. I'm pulling a point like some WWE type of charade. They literally got beat.
Not like that.
But how were they able to get past what that beating? How were they able to get the joy to be beaten for Yahweh Shai?
Because
they went through the same. They seen Yahweh Shai go through it, and how he dealt with it. Now they was able to follow the same example. And now duplicate what he did. So they said, I know I'm on the right path now.
It was almost like it takes all the fear out of anything. Because if you watch somebody else go through and do it, what do I be afraid of? You guys watch him come out on the other end. I watched it's almost like you just took you just told me the end of the scary movie.
Right.
You just told me the end. You just killed the whole movie. So Oh, he gonna be all
right. Spoiler alert.
You know what I'm saying? How old would it take to start? But I be watching movies like maybe certain movies you like the main character, like, look, I don't want to watch it if he gonna die, man. Because it's too cool. Then you watch the next episode, he ain't gonna die because he coming back in the sequel.
Right.
So it's almost like I already know what the outcome is because I already seen my elder. I seen that they seen Christ walk through everything. They watched him get on the cross. Watch him after the cross. The person after I see another man show you his hand, he's still there. If you gotta look and say, damn, the Most High is real. You can't tell me nothing at that point because the Father is real. But we even have those examples today. And that's the point I was getting, been in agreeing. That is what we haven't seen. You won't know how sweet wisdom really is till you use the things that you were shown. And that's what's got me. Like, you're right. I always am positive on everything because I live with a man that I solved all my problems. You know, when I was young in the troop, I solved all my problems in the club drinking cognac. That's how I solved it. I was at Diamonds. I was at the salsa club. Everybody know me when I first was young. I'm driving. I had the gray Jeep, music up.
Right.
At the club, and I watched, and that was my escape for every time there was pressure, I went to the club. But I had an elder that every time there was pressure, just still played the piano, drinking Lambrusco, studying, and every conversation, it was always, I only have a positive answer to get through it. I never had a doubt. I never second-guessed a question. He never second-guessed or questioned his moves in front of me. It was always, this is what we're going to try. And if it fails, we're going to go back to the drawing board. We're going to try this. It was always the right example that forged that confidence. And when I was, you start to realize that when you don't have your elder, you realize what you missed. You know what I'm saying? You realize, damn, this was that person that always made sure that, not that he made sure, but he was almost the right example for what you needed. So you're never going to see like the sweet victory of going through something and say how sweet it is that I accomplished this. We got people dealing with more failures because they'll never be able to say, man, damn, that was sweet. Those precepts, the way he did it, damn, I use it, that was sweet.
Okay.
Never be able to say it. Because you abandoned those precepts. You've been abandoning those testimonies. You abandoned the things that was there in front of you to be able to now be there for you when you start going on your endeavors. You don't go, you don't have to feel like you're going on this endeavor alone because the word is with you. The word they show you is with you. The scriptures that they use. Go back to them old breakdowns. You go back to the breakdowns when you're alone, you'd be like, that's deep. I don't know why it's deeper now.
Because now there's experience.
Right.
Because now you're actually experienced.
Because not just like what Christ told you about, may come. It says it's going to remind you of everything that I said. It's like, you won't see how sweet this wisdom is until you allow the Most High to show you how valuable that person with the scripture, that elder, with the precepts, with the testimony, with the Bible. A lot of things we're not going to understand when we're getting it because we was too young to understand it. But
the understanding was lacking because we have no experience.
Right.
We could read about Job. Like, how did Job lose his family, lose his, all his wealth, and lose everything, and have his health even attached, and be able to keep his integrity? A lot of people are familiar with the story of Job and the integrity and stuff like that. And, Satan had a wager with God or whatever. But it's not until you've been built up. It tells you Job, the Most High blessed Job. So he had the plan. He had that. But if you come to the truth as a young man,
you can never really appreciate what Job went through because you ain't never had shit.
That's it, man.
And you haven't had to invest in putting a house together, trying to raise children, dealing with your wife, whatever, and working hard to get to that point, and now you lose everything. If you have really gone through that, you can never really appreciate the story of Job. You'll never be able to appreciate it.
Wow, it's bad. Huh?
Because you haven't experienced that yet. So to be able to come back now and have elders now, obviously Job isn't here right now. But do you have elders who have, like Christ told the disciples, if you come to me and don't hate your father, brother, sister, wife, children, lands, yea, even your own life, you can't be my disciple. Have you seen somebody gone to the point where it says, if you don't forsake them, you forsake them. If you've never seen anybody do that, and I'm not talking about the drawing between curses. I ain't talking from that perspective. I'm talking about from the perspective of, for the sake of the work of the Most High, I have to forsake my family. They need me. They really do need me, but for the sake of the work, I have to forsake them. Unless you see somebody go through that, all you're going to see is everybody making sure they just take care of their families. You can see somebody just making sure they invest into, just making sure their family is built up. But now when it comes to having to deal with, like with Job, if things were in the four-time McFarlane, when Job lost everything, how was he able to overcome that? How was he able to deal with that? Because no, being in the truth is not all roses. Being in the truth is not all smiley faces, emojis, and warm fuzzies. It says, if you're in this truth, it's impossible that you're not going to be offended. It's impossible. But a lot of people come to this truth with this religious mentality that it's supposed to be just all good.
Right.
I'm not supposed to have any problems, and it's supposed to just be all good. When I run my ATM, when I run my debit card through the ATM, there better be something there. My credit better be A1. I better be driving the latest vehicle. I better have just the latest every damn thing, because I'm the truth, because I'm an Israelite. I ain't supposed to be going through nothing. And that is not reality.
Right.
That's not a biblical reality. But until I see somebody able to go through these type of things and still keep going, be able to go through these type of the tribulations and still keep enduring, your teaching is lacking.
Sorry, man.
Yet the understanding really is not going to be there. And this is what, again, if we're building this together,
I hate when
people really get to this, speaking to me smooth things. Tell me everything is just going to be, bro, and that the Bible is a genie in a bottle, and because I rub the Bible, I'm supposed to just get everything I want.
But you will never be a leader.
It's not going to happen.
You will never. Most of the time, the elder, that is the one that is the Most I put with you, over you, was the one you needed. Because his job is to make you tempered. His job is to make you graven, right? To temper something, I got to take you through different conditions. I'm not supposed to be all the time nice, because that's not a true temperature. Things ain't always nice. It gets hot. You're supposed to be able to endure the heat.
Okay.
As gold is tried in the fire,
except
on the parts of adversity, when it's cold, that temper, I got to be able to withstand it. My job as an elder is to be able to take you through all these conditions so that you can now be tempered, sound, aged, all the things that we read in Titus, that young man is supposed to be,
God.
That doesn't come by being nice. That means conditions. And you gotta be able to stand through these conditions. That is what he's, and I love it because you can watch as you watch elders that have been tempered, and the things that they had to go through, they start to understand why somebody had me up all night studying, making me go in that book, put a class together. No, you can't do that. You're gonna stop drinking. You ain't going to the club. You better change. That woman ain't the woman for you, man. That's the one thing most men hate.
Okay.
How you going to tell me what wife, what woman I can pick and can't pick? on how I'm dealing with my, that's my private family. All that damn ego and pride, you don't want to leave. And I want to tell every elder out there, that's the problem with most of these young guys. They don't want to leave because that is the, if it was like a criteria for leadership, it, you got to be tempered.
And being temperate, and I'm loving this. And being temperate, again, you want to be the first to go to fire. A leader, because the thing now, especially look on YouTube and everything, people think a leader is because I'm telling you what to do.
Right.
That I, and ain't that what Christ called the Pharisees and the Sadducees, hypocrites, that they sit in Moses' seat, they sit in the seat of authority, but they themselves won't lift up, they'll put a burden on you that they themselves won't lift with their little finger. That they'll push, they'll have you doing shit that they themselves won't fucking do.
That's it, man.
And that's where they, and this unfortunately is where a lot of people think that's what it means to be a leader. No, the type of leader Christ is looking for and the type of leader Christ was, he went through the fire.
Huh.
He went through the hardship.
Right, right there.
And then he used scriptures to help get through that. He didn't use, I'm guilty of it, Netflix, Hulu. Or the things we hear that we've heard from men who've been in this truth for a minute, you got to have a life. You got to make sure you have a life. And this is my question. For everybody to have a life, then you don't want to be a leader because Christ said you can't even be my disciple if you don't hate your life.
Right.
But everybody wants to build their life. And I want to make sure I've got my comforts.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to make sure I've got my comforts.
Yeah.
And then I'll be in the truth. Then it's no problem coming to class because I got my comforts. I got no problem going through the Passover because there's no pressure. I got no problem putting fringes on because, again, there's no pressure. But you can't be the type of leader Christ is talking about if you're not going to go through that pressure. And to be able to help lead others when it's time to go through that pressure. Be able to help bring them through what they're going to be going through. Not have them escape it. Not have them avoid it. You know, I'm never going to have them go through this. That builds people with a sense of entitlement. That they're spoiled. They're spoiled brats. That the minute they now have to be challenged, they break down like little bitches. They break down like complete little crybabies. Because they're being held back from the fire. They're being held back from the pressure and not trying to get ready for, you know, we was watching the movie you quoted yesterday. Don't we just play about, don't look up.
Yes.
Right. Trying to get people ready for what Christ is about to bring.
God.
But no, it's got to be a joke. It's got to be something funny. It's got to be something humorous. It's got to be something that deflects.
Right.
The seriousness of what's really going on. That's not reality. That truly is not reality.
So late.
So is somebody really actually getting ready? Again, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2
3. I got you right here, man. You want to 2 Timothy chapter 2?
Yeah, verse 3.
It says, therefore, it says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of God. Right.
And if you're a leader or call yourself a leader and you ain't gone through hardness to be able to now show somebody, these are the scriptures I use to get me out of this hardness.
There you go. No one's ever
and to get out of hardness, not escape.
No.
Not
drink your way out of it.
Because a lot of people think when they see the scripture, there's no temptation, 1 Corinthians 10:13. There's no temptation that's taking you, but such as is common to man. But if the Most High is faithful, who will not tempt you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape. They think that's what you're talking about, that this is supposed to make sure I never go through any pressure. This is supposed to make sure I never have to face anything. That it's supposed to be an escape. That it's supposed to be, my mind's supposed to be at ease and at comfort. But what did Christ leave for the comfort? The scriptures. The scriptures and an elder who's been through the situation and can lead you and show you what scripture he used. That's why it talks about being an example to the flock. That's why it talks about feed the flock on the Most High that's among you. Feeding them ain't just because you gave them a scripture. But did you give them, you understand their mindset of what they're going through? You have a rib leave. How that crushes you. How that rips your life apart.
And then she took the kids with her.
Took the kids with her. And
you
then
want child support,
you ain't child support. She lying. You talking about you ain't no good this, no good that. And you're facing that. How do I deal with the emotions of wanting to go and put some sugar in the car?
That's it.
That'd be game. Sabotage or just really consider, you know what? If I do something, they'll probably give me about 20 years.
Yep.
I'm 20-something now. I'll be 45. I can still... You're sitting there contemplating that how it can be done.
But or getting through with your parents, when your parents look at you like, there was so much potential. And you have so much potential. You could have did so many great things. And it's almost like you just threw your life away.
Okay.
So you, instead of me going to the scriptures, learn how to now counter that, I'm going to do this.
And having an elder who dealt with that same issue.
What I'm going to do is do this. I'm gonna start fixing credit. I'm gonna give me a good job. I'm gonna go ahead and prove that, you know, I can accomplish and I can be great by buying cars. And
right.
I done got me a house.
I'm
the one fixing my kids to school every day because I'm proving that I'm a good parent. You don't win completely. I don't know who trained you there, but that's the training of a man who's not trying to be a leader.
And unfortunately, this is where we see a lot of leaders, that council leaders or camp. That's the example you're leaving for the rest of your people.
That's it.
That you're not teaching them how to go through real hardness. You're not teaching them how to deal with real issues. You're teaching them how to deal with, in America. This is why, you know,
mm-hmm.
when Paul said, and I'm going to get back to something that he said.
Yeah,
when Paul said, if you're going to be a bishop, you'll be the husband of one wife, that having to deal with how to get her mind straight, how to deal with when you feel as a man, as a husband, you can't stand her, she can't stand you. How do I, because it tells you the elder man is supposed to teach a young man how to love his wife. Just like an elder woman is supposed to teach a young woman how to love her husband. When it gets to those points where the honeymoon is over, where y'all both can walk around each other naked and almost get disgusted, like,
I wasted my life.
You roll over. You'll see. She's back to the right. You roll over to the left. Like, you don't want to look at this person. I can't stand this dude. But if you don't have elders who've been through those experiences and how they got through those experiences, you're following leaders and following people who've never done that. Even in the priesthood, it said you had to be 30 years old and you had to have had a wife. Because if you never knows what it feels like to be that point of disgust, how do I find the good in her? How do I find the good in him? How do I overcome? But if we're dealing with, now she's dealing with a sickness. She's dealing with a sickness and now I got to build her back up. And the fear that comes behind that, the fear of, I might lose her.
Right.
And you want to go ahead, you know what? It'd just be easy for me to just dip.
God.
I'm not trying to deal with this. And situations like that, if you never had an elder from you dealing with all your Ashariah, Ali, Yeshua,
yeah.
For everything that's been said that's supposed to be wrong or no, we're going to have faith. We have faith. Once it comes, we're going to get this together. We're going to do that together.
Yeah.
But somebody was going to lead you through that.
Right.
If you never had to face those things, you'll crumble.
That's so true.
You're not going to stand. You're not going to last.
Yep. And I like what you're showing too, Michelle, is that when we start watching men go through problems, you know the new phrase is going to be, oh, you ain't been around.
Okay.
Because if you was around, you would have been watching. That's why we read the scriptures where it talks about we being a great man, get the time
there's
a reason. The more I'm going to learn to get through this because we were around. We wore out the doorstep of our elders.
Kind.
We were there watching him do and go through the things I was going through and what scripts he was using to put his mind back together. And then even to the point, we watched our elders, like my friend, no different when all the issues was going on in Israel. And we got, because I can remember you and Cole Cobb getting called up to New York. Cole Cobb and I would do 6 months in New York. All right, come. And then watching him submit to that, going back up there, he was up there taking swimming classes, working on his back, going to the school for class. I watched the positive guy, everything that was getting hit with. That's how I watched y'all deal. Okay, we got to go up to New York. We got to face the elders. Okay, come. But no running. It was submit. Sorry, you got to come back up here. Y'all got to be the dudes over the Hebrew Academy. It wasn't, oh, we got those over here going on. Come. I'm gone. It was always about being in those presence so that when I watched them deal with the scenario that they were dealing with, it was, the scripture said, the things written the four times before I learned.
Okay.
The things was before us, maybe we didn't understand, but it was for us to learn so that now when it's our time going, we deal properly.
Okay.
We stay in order. We stay the right way. But I love the point that you're hitting that. This thing wasn't supposed to be easy. Because if it was easy, you're not ready to leave. Because the problems in Israel aren't easy. The problems in the camp aren't easy.
No, they're not.
The problems in a person's home, their relationships, they're not easy. You got people that are really going through things, and you have to be able to now, can I be there? Can I put aside my life long enough for this person to now get through what they get through and restore it? I mean, them counsels, nights. You feel like you've been saying the same thing over and over and over, and then finally they click in. But as a good leader, I was already tempered for that.
Okay.
Because my focus wasn't my life. My focus was Israel. It was always Israel.
Okay.
I'm moving you here. You're going over to Oklahoma. You're going over here to Miami. I didn't even give you a chance to develop a life. Why? Because you were going to be a leader, and you needed to understand that you have to be secondary to the body. You got to be secondary to the nation. That's a hard thing for a man to learn his own. Because don't get a bad woman.
Okay.
Man, is she looking good? Is you? You only pick the phone up.
True.
When a man is alone, you like, you gotta go. You, you know, you not gonna do it. Hey, Shalom, you calling the phone? Don't get answered. Oh, brother, I didn't hear it. What are you talking about, man? Brother, we need to do for counsel. Oh man, we just turned this movie on. You know, we ain't really got to spend no time together. You know, she is going too.
Oh my god.
And listen, you are Israel, but the man you with, he don't want to be a leader, because a leader understands that this is secondary, because the nation, the camp is bigger than what it is he's doing. The most I have a bigger job for him. And if you was a help, if you a help, you understand that your job is to now support him in his leadership. So when that dude come crying at home, you're supposed to be like, brother, I'm gonna call your elder on you. This dude up here acting like a little woman complaining about the fact that he was in council late last night. This man up here complaining like a little woman because he got to open up Sabbath class.
Okay.
Because that is the support. You understand that man is walking down a great path to becoming an elder.
When still building this. I know some of this might be going over a lot of people's heads. You've never experienced this, but just like you mentioned about Christ to the disciples, if you don't hate your father, mother, sister, wife more than me, you're not worthy of me. So Didn't we see the disciples even have to forsake their wives?
Yes.
For the sake of the work?
So did.
But guess what they saw? Guess what, when Christ was teaching and his mother and his brothers and his sisters came to him? What did he say? Who's my family?
That's it.
But those who hear the word of the Messiah and do it. The disciples saw that. Christ's personal family was going through issues. Did they see Christ running back and make sure they were straight?
Mm-mm.
They didn't see that example. So guess what they was able to follow? They was able to follow that example.
Right.
They was able to follow that to make them strong so that now this ministry could truly grow. So that this ministry, it can go to where Christ never taught before.
Right.
That now this work can be done. We, thank the Most High, had an elder. It says the elders of Reuel should be counted of double honor. We had an elder in Ariel. We saw the man leave five wives with their kids, not after doing the 28 type curses that he just hated them and was just a no good ass Negro. Ariella was one of the very first men to ever take the truth outside of New York. There would be no camps outside of New York if it weren't for the example that this man set. That man said that man left Kazakia. He left my 19 other kids.
Yeah.
With their mothers to come and teach us.
Yep.
To sleep on, we were somebody the other day, to sleep in, it was him, and he got five houses back in New York. We're sleeping on bunk beds. In Albuquerque. A little twin bunk bed. But this was in a room with two other niggas. Me and Kawakai. And if you know me, I don't even know if snoring is the right word to call what I do when I fall asleep. But to be in that environment and suffer those things so that this truth, it wasn't about him making sure he built up his comfort. And now, okay, I'm going to travel to Albuquerque. I'm bringing all my wives with me to Albuquerque. Okay, now we're going to California. I'm going to travel with all my wives and kids and to California because we're trying to build California. Kids to San Antonio because that will build something in San Antonio.
Right.
Now I'm going to travel all my wives, kids, and family to Oklahoma. We didn't see that example. So to be able to see the scriptures about somebody who put the work first, somebody who put us first, and from that was able to get his houses in order.
Right.
It wasn't because he stayed right there. It wasn't because he was with them, again, doing the grocery shopping. He had to, some excuses we've heard over the years. I can't go because I got to cut the yard.
Right.
You can't go because you have to cut the yard.
Yep. It is our anniversary.
I got to do the shopping because she doesn't know how to go inside a grocery store and shop.
Right.
I have to be the one that does the shopping. So brother, how does she live before you met her? When you met her, when is she a cashier at Walmart? She was a cashier at Walmart, but now you can't go because you have to do the shopping because she was a cashier at Walmart?
She was a CSM.
And if you don't get it done, it just can't be done.
Right.
Again, you have a lot of people who are putting themselves in leadership positions right now. You don't really want to lead.
You don't
want to be the type of leader Christ is talking about.
And that's why I like the point where you're getting to. This is what she's starting to see. She's already starting to see. He want to be home. You know, I don't even argue with him. I ain't arguing with him because he want to do this shit. I ain't even saying it's wrong. But he want to do it. Hell, if he left, I would clean the house. If he left, I would do the shopping. But I'm starting to realize it's the hardship and it's the suffering that every man is starting to really see and understand that this is what leadership is about.
Okay.
And I'm fighting that. Let's read this real quick. Second Timothy, we here in the right place. And I like now. As we go to the scriptures, if we go into what we would consider to be basic soldiership scriptures, This is the scripture you have on the soldiership, right? But what I was...
How many people don't even know what the soldiership is? Right. I'm just being honest.
That's the truth. But because they bypass all of that.
You saw somebody on YouTube, and they talk real powerful. They did this or whatever. But you don't even know what soldiership is. Because you, and nobody has... Nobody ever made you live by the soldier sheet.
Right.
Nobody gave you a protocol or a standard to help you get through the hardships that you're going to be facing. It's all about just having a good time. It's supposed to be easy. That's not the truth. So where are we at now?
Second Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4.
And the reason I'm reading it, because we're gonna get read down, right, to what he's going to tell you what you're not supposed to be doing. But he's supposed to be, he's going to come down and Paul's going to tell you, or yes. Timothy is going to tell
he's
you.
He's telling Timothy, right?
Yeah, he's telling Timothy what he should be preparing for. This is the part that we want to get to, because in this, I've read this over and over, and we understand that can't do this, can't do that. So what should I be preparing for is what we got to get down to, right? So read that.
All right. 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting at verse 4.
Uh-huh.
And it reads, no man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life.
Read.
That he may please him who has chosen him to be
the top. That's the first thing we'll be looking at. We start looking at, where's he do that? He's trying to be home all the time. You keep trying to be entangled. So I'm looking for that. So I'm not pleased. That's why we'll be getting demoted, everything else. Because you're trying to entangle yourself in something that you're not supposed to be in, right? Mm-hmm. Read on.
And if a man also strive for mastery.
And I'm around you. And this is where you have men that are, I want to be a leader. I want to be a leader. That's that man that's in this because he wants to be a leader. Okay, Justin, you want to lead. Now, what is the criteria for a man that wants to lead? Read.
Yet is he not crowned? Except he strive lawfully.
So there's a right way that he has to do it if he is going to lead. And this is the part that we don't ever really get to, is showing these are the things that you're going to have to go through if you want to lead.
And this is what Christ said. Paul was expounding on Christ saying, unless you come through the straight gate, you're not going to get to the kingdom. So what does it mean to be the straight gate? Strive lawfully. What does all this mean? These are the steps you've got to go through.
Right.
You probably, are you going to, what's that, Wisdom Psalm 7? About the fire on one hand and the...
We
got to go ahead.
Please, if we want to go there.
We'll get
because
there.
Because if we don't take the true picture,
time.
It's always going to be, everybody want to lead until you start, like, demanding leadership and then they don't understand. Well, why you change up? Like, I thought we was cool. Like, I've been doing my classes, but I've been coming to every class. And all of a sudden, you go, also we hear the podium, you go, brother, how dare you talk to me like
that?
You know, I'm up here helping you lead. Wait a minute. Okay, if you're going to help me lead, then there's some criteria. There's things I got to take you through that you can help me lead this.
Okay.
I just don't need you up here. I don't need a big headband. I don't need a guy with a whole bunch of fringes on. I don't need a guy that can dress the part. I need a dude that can handle the pressure, the responsibility, and the things that I am going to be, not me, the spirit and the camp is going to be required of this man.
Okay.
He has to be built for it. You don't throw bodies in because they look the part, because they always crumble. You have to be built up for leadership. Read on.
Second Corinthians chapter 2 and verse
6.
Uh-huh. And it reads, the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruit.
This is 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 6.
You said Corinthians.
Oh, tell me. Yeah, please.
Okay.
And we understand. We know when you get hit. With the scriptures is because you're thinking
right.
That I want to be that leader. I want to be open to understand and now get myself mentally ready for what it really means to lead. That's what this is about. This ain't just about playing dress up. Because this fire is hot. This ain't dress up. You know, listen, you know what I keep looking at? We look at leaders, right? And you look at a leader mess up. And, well, you know what the crazy thing is? What would you expect if the first time he leads? But you know when he messed up? When he starts to, like, get away from his development.
Deviation.
He started to, because either he stopped dealing with his elder like he's supposed to be, so he's starting to deviate, but he don't see that he's deviating from the development, that person that was keeping him online. Then you have to do this. Then the spirit checks you. When the issues and problems come through, have you softened up? Because if you was built a certain way,
a hard head.
Yeah. like martial arts, perfect example. You know, listen, how many boards and how much hitting walls and kicking, see, the sad workouts, the weak shots, you're like, I'm really getting sick of this thing and it's got their workout. But you can tell when you get with them and y'all start practicing a little bit, you're like, oh shit, that hurt. You throw your foot up and you're like, yeah, okay, I don't have the same flexibility that I had before.
Right.
I don't have the same power. I don't have the same ability to take a blow like I used to before.
Right.
In the spirit, it's the same thing because you are being conditioned for something. That's what this work is about. If I'm the husband, if I'm going to be that potential leader, then the fruit, the work was all of the things, all the counsels I was required to be in. That's the fruit. All of the chapters have fruit.
And that's the...
The fruit ain't the good part.
The participation.
Yeah, the fruit ain't the good part. The fruit ain't, I got to get dressed up and I got to put the gaudy garment on. Now,
right.
That ain't the fruit, bro. So listen, brother, can you give me a glass of water? That ain't the fruit. You know what I'm saying? That's not the fruit he's talking about. But we're going to read about the fruit that this new elder is supposed to now be partakers of.
Have experienced it.
Read on.
Right. So it's, forgive me, Salakia, it's 2 Timothy chapter 2 and
verse 7.
And it reads, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things.
So when we start thinking about what he's about to say, now you'll get understanding. You're going to get understanding because that's the one thing as men, we didn't fully get understanding. We didn't understand what we We see the side of an elder. We see the dress up. We see the car. We see the ribs. We see the kids. We like, man, I want that. But what I have to partake in now is the part that men run from. And you start realizing, no, you didn't want it that bad then. Because this is what I had to partake in for me to get that. Read on.
Verse 8. Remember that Yahushua of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel.
Go ahead.
Wherein I suffered trouble.
Read.
Wherein I suffered trouble.
That's why I didn't say that. I knew you don't catch it. This is because this is the fruit that you have to partake in. This is the sign of the, this is like we read the contract, and they show you the pretty car rock, and they show you, yeah, man, you will be flossing. But this is the fine print, them little bitty-ass words that, you know, people don't be, they don't even tell you about it. Man, just sign over here, man. Yeah.
This right here.
Yeah. They can put their face so fast, you be like, all you've been thinking about, man, I'm going to look good in this car. So brothers and men and children do the same thing, man. I'm going to look good in them garments. Hell, wait till I get up there. Ain't nobody going to wear a garment the way I wear a garment. Wait till I get up there. My ribs going to be fly. Because I'm cool. I'm going to get me a rib. But ain't nobody reading the fine print of what the Most High is going to require.
Okay.
Read that again.
2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8. Remember that Yahushua of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel.
He was the first husband. He was the first elder, the first leader, to go through it. And this is what we had to go through. This is what the next, from all our generation of elders, this is what they were going through. This is what we had to go through. Christ the author, he's the beginning. So the same things he had to go through, he's telling you. Paul said, to Peter, I was doing the same thing. Christ started it. Apostles went through it. We going through it. Y'all gonna go through it. Because this is what it means to be a leader. This is how you get that responsibility. Read on.
Verse 9. Wherein I suffer trouble.
Uh-huh.
As an evildoer.
As a what?
As an evildoer.
You would say, listen, the things they were going through, you would have thought they was wicked. And you start, when you go back and you get a chance to read Paul's life, to read the apostles and what they was going through, you, from getting thrown in jail to getting beat, to getting, you name it, I'm getting the hit. Why would they suffer and you think that you're going to come in this truth and you're going to now claim that you do nothing? These are the things that, what was the word I'm looking for?
That are required.
No, not just required, but they give you your merit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
It would be like your street cred.
There you go. This is my spiritual cred. This is the thing that speaks for me. The things I was going through, the things I've done, because now I have the ability to lead. Like you said, I can lead the next man through this. What if I never went through anything? If I quit every battle I fought, I was that guy that every time it got hard, I disappeared. Then I would come back. You know what I'm saying? And I could come back and I could be the reader, I could be the spiritual guy, I got the deep talk, I got the spiritual talk.
Yeah.
I'm the fastest to the scriptures. You like, yeah, but you know, you seem like a good candidate for leadership. But as soon as we start the program, we start the leadership process, you watch men crumble and run from that fire, because that's the one thing I wasn't, I didn't really understand. And there's a process that the Spirit's going to take you through, because you need to be able to lead men through trouble.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to lead. We in church, man.
That's
we
quiet.
Lead communion. We're not leading the choir. We're not leading the we ain't gonna suck all this whole hand.
Right.
We're gonna bless the food. But that's church. That's what we leading to everybody, like, go to church, man. Ain't no all we gotta do is dress good, man. Say some amen, man. Hallelujah, do all that shit, man. And you know what?
You know, that's important.
Yeah, that's it. You know, make sure we get the we'll get the communion out, man. We're going to make sure the collection. And that made me a leader in the church. Well, in this, if you truly serve in the Most High, that leader is going to be proven that he can endure. He can now lead this man through the things that he's going to be going through. So read on. Everyone, go ahead.
Verse 9. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer.
Read.
Even unto bonds.
Read.
But the word of the Most High is not bound.
He said, I suffer trouble even as an evildoer, but even up to bond.
But why do you suffer trouble as an evildoer? Because people don't have to follow that path.
God, brother.
That's evil. That's off. You know, the buzz of Ricky Garen, that's not wisdom. Why would anybody, ain't there an easier way to serve the Most High? There's got to be an easier way. Why has it got to be so hard? Why is that be so difficult?
God.
So for the ones that are saying, no, this is what we got to go through. This is the way we got to go. They get spoken evil of.
God.
Man, that's foolish. That's bullshit. I'm not doing that.
You know,
you know what? He wants me to leave my family because his family left too. So he don't know how to love, but I know how to love. So that's why he ain't got no family. That's why that he's going through the shit he's going through.
God.
So the ones that the true leaders, because remember Christ said, just to back it up a little bit, remember Yahweh Shai said, woe unto you when men shall speak well of you, so today the false prophets, but blessed are ye when men shall reject you, blessed are ye when men shall speak evil of you, and that hunger for righteousness sake. that when you're actually doing right by the Most High in Christ,
yep,
the world's going to hate you. And unfortunately, there'll be a lot of men in Israel, a lot of people in Israel, that still have their foot deeply planted in the world.
That's exactly.
And then now when it's time, when they're being shown Christ,
mm-hmm,
they're being shown the Holy One of Israel, they don't want that. So now I got to find something evil. I got to find something wrong
right
with
right
why I don't have to follow that pattern.
Right.
That man is, okay, he slipped. Just before seven times.
Right.
But now I'm using that for excuse. The pattern and the good works he hasn't laid down, I don't have to follow. That now gives me the excuse. I can go do what I want to do.
Yeah.
I don't have to follow or lock in. So now, come on, wait a minute. We see it all throughout Israel.
Yep.
Now it's, y'all never knew about the Star of Malak. See, that's what the shield is. That's why I ain't got to follow y'all. No, because you know what these men make forcing you to do? If you had a fear of public speaking, they just make you face that fear. If you had a fear of confrontation, we had the workouts. So you had to go ahead and get down to the workout. Mm-hmm. So you had to face those things that you were uncomfortable with. But now let me find anything I can. See, y'all don't respect the Sabbath the way you're supposed to. See, no, y'all wearing beards and braids? No. In the scriptures, in that braid, it was short hair. And you're wrong if you have locks. Oh, my God. You better have no locks because that's just another reason why I don't have to follow you and I can establish my own righteousness.
God.
So read that last part again.
Mm.
2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9. It says, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer.
But as an evildoer, who's the one calling me evil?
My own people.
The people I'm trying to Moses, right?
Yeah.
How many times did Israel want to stone Moses and kill Moses for, you brought us out here to die. You didn't give a damn about my family. You didn't give about my wife, my kids.
Right,
that we need to kill you and go back to Egypt.
God.
How many times did that happen?
God.
That Israel could not stand Moses' example and Moses' leadership.
Mm-hmm.
So they wanted to kill him. How many times did the prophets, hey, if y'all don't get right, most of them bring them down to Edomites by the mountains and you can be serving them. And we put the prophets to death for saying if we don't get right with the Most High. Because in our minds, we're in the promised land. I got wealth. I've got 40 kids. What you mean the Edomites is going to be over me?
God.
I'm not trying to hear that. You're ruining my high.
You're so right, man. You're like me being half.
Why the problem with me being half? You always bring such a negative.
Yeah, man.
It's always something wrong with you. You need a life.
Yeah, man.
You need a drink. You need some ass. You know, it'll be all these things
that you need, right?
That said, just shut up. Or why I don't have to follow you because you're evil. It's not the fact that we're evil. Hell, Christ said, there's none good but my Father's in heaven. But now people have to find an excuse of why I don't have to follow that example.
Verse 10.
Give it back.
Even unto bonds.
Go ahead.
But the word of the Most High is not bound.
Because that's
you look at these scriptures.
Right.
You don't learn today. You'll get it.
Even if I don't get to see the Most High do, yeah, like I was telling you, I like what you said, but I ain't going to blow on top of some of this, man. I ain't going, because there's got to be a different message. Then when you go somewhere else, and somebody who don't know what the hell you've been going to say the same thing, you can't control it. You can try to get away, but you can't control the word. The Most High to get that message to you. You're going to suffer, man. You're going to go through these things because there's a reason why you're going through. Yeah, look at this. You got to ask yourself, why did the Most High put me with that person?
Because
you're going to get this word. You want to break this up. Listen, brother, we have given our life to the Father. We have been chosen for what we're supposed to do. And when you've been chosen to do something, you can't get out when it feels uncomfortable for you. Because we don't try to do that when you've chosen to win something.
True.
Yeah, let me get out of this.
I won the lotto, man. They chose me to win the lotto. Now they chose me to suffer. Because that's what you've been chosen for. But there's a reason you've been chosen to suffer. Read 10.
Second Timothy chapter 2 and verse 10.
Go ahead.
And it reads, therefore I endure all things.
He did what?
Endure all things.
Why?
For the elect's sake.
For my sake.
For the elect's sake.
Because I'm going to profit something.
For the elect's sake.
See, this is what most men don't understand about this truth. That it doesn't benefit you. It'll never benefit you. Because the thing that you endure was like, man, I went through that. I came up. No, you ain't going to come up. Because it's not for you. That's what we don't process. We're looking for a blessing. There ain't no blessing in being up all night hearing somebody's problems. Except the fact that now that person's got some understanding for their problem. It ain't no blessing in trying to figure out how to take your camp from this status to this status. You're trying to figure out how to solve these problems. There ain't no glory in that. But who does glory? The body does. Everything that we do, the only people that benefit from it is the elect, is the body, is the nation. There is no glory in that. If you're looking for personal self-gain, see, I use wisdom and I got myself here.
Whose wisdom?
Right. And if you call what you got something good, and the only reason half the stuff we did get, and blessed because we built the body. Crazy, we can go back to the Old Testament, see it all the Levites. Moses didn't give anybody homes. He didn't give them land. He didn't give them those things. The nation or that city or that tribe that they were now ministered to took care of them. So if they didn't do the proper investment into that nation, into that tribe, into that city, their living condition was what it was because the investment into the body was what it was. I just keep saying, if you sparingly, you reap bountifully. If I'm quoting,
yeah, that's another one you got.
He said, if you sow sparingly, possibly reap sparingly. But we're teaching that the things you have to endure because your body, your camp, your nation needs you to be now, you have to endure that so that you can show the next man how to endure it and stay in the work. Stay doing what he's supposed to do. Keep that fervency. This ain't new. It's the first time any brother or sister is going through something that ain't nobody else went through. Right. It's not new. It's a reason. Hell, there's a next. You know, show me the most assurance. Then there's a next generation. For everything that we have to endure now is because there is a next generation. And we see them every day.
Yeah.
We see these kids. We see our kids. Christ ain't promised to come back. We was waiting to come. And we're still, everything that they went through was for us, for our sake. Now we have to endure for the next generation's sake so we can help them through whatever crazy things this world's going to take them through. Read on. Finish it up real fast.
2 Timothy chapter 2 and the beginning of 10 again.
Go ahead.
Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake,
uh-huh,
that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Yahushua,
yeah,
with eternal glory.
He said, but that's for them to make it to the kingdom.
Right.
Our responsibility is to endure so that they make it to the kingdom.
Right.
So we can show them that path to the kingdom. We just show them the things that they have to endure so when Christ come back, they're ready for the kingdom like someone did for us. Because we're still here standing because somebody was enduring everything to show you how to endure it like Christ did for the apostles, like Paul did for Timothy and them.
Let me get this real quick. Shit.
Come on. There you go.
Hebrews 5, 8, and 9. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 through 9. And it reads, though he were a son.
Talk about Christ. Though Christ is the son of the Most High. And again, I'm getting covered with this on a whole nother level. In this world, for what we're talking about, leaving a legacy for or inheritance for our kids,
yeah,
it's supposed to be these scriptures,
huh,
and this wisdom on how to get through hardness. But we got the American mentality twist to it
that I'm supposed to make sure I leave them houses, cars. I'm supposed to make sure I get the life insurance so that they can have a fat bank account. So they can live the TV show Blackish. But the whole show was about them living around white folks, being a black family, living around white folks. So they can make, because remember, Dre grew up in Compton. So now the show that he made it and that he is a somebody, I'm not living in Compton no more. I now live in Sherman Oaks around the white folks. I done made it. But spoiler alert, the last episode, no, now they moved around black folks. Not around Compton, back in the back. They moved back around their own people. Like, so we're thinking that unless I do something like that, I leave my kids spoiled. I leave my kids, they have a sense of entitlement.
There you go.
That now, according to the American definition, now being a good dad. I'm not getting prepared for any of the prophecies that the Most High is talking about is coming to America. I'm not getting ready for the tribulation that we must do much tribulation into the kingdom of heaven. I'm not trying to get them ready for that. I keep spoiling them. But what did the Most High do to his own son? As I'm looking at the ultimate father. What did that father take his son through?
Right.
Are we living to that standard? Or are we living to the standard of America says, this is what a good dad does. I'm there for the Boy Scouts. I'm there for every birthday. I'm there for every basketball game, every soccer game, every cello concert. And that's what makes me a good dad. Yeah, in the eyes of the world. But where are you getting them ready? I'm taking this right here just for a second. We read about Second Maccabees chapter 7. We're not going to go there. Second Maccabees chapter 7 talks about the mother with the seven sons that died in one day. I don't know who that husband was. That he can get his wife ready to watch her sons die, to be fried in frying pans, but still have faith and integrity in the Most High. And for each son to willingly volunteer themselves for death and to be able to say, I'm taking on this death that the Most High might have comfort or ease with the rest of my nation. Who was that dad? Who was that husband? That they were ready for what the Most High had going on. Not just, I better be living the life of Riley. Christ, the Most High put his son Christ through remember, what did Christ even pray to his father? Father, don't make me go through this. Nevertheless, not my will be done, but your will. So what was the will of the Most High being Christ's death? For the Most High to say, this is my only begotten son, for him to suffer. But so that the rest of the nation could come up, not just making sure his household, his family came up. But keep reading this right here.
Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8.
Right.
Though he was a son, is it yet learned the obedience by the things which he suffered?
So how did Christ even have to learn obedience through the things he suffered?
God.
Christ, being the son of Mosiah, had to suffer. But somehow, if I'm not going to put my son through this, I ain't going to put my children through that. F that. I'm not the one. And you know what? You never spoke a bigger truth. You're not the one.
Right. I don't have to be ashamed. You ain't the one.
Your kids ain't going to be the one.
God.
Fine. You're right. You ain't the one.
Yeah. It's a choice.
Let's keep reading.
You know it's a choice, right? And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation.
How was Christ made perfect?
Through his suffering.
Through the things he suffered. Oh. Not from the things he was given and didn't have to work for.
Right.
Not through the ease of life of comfort, but through the things he had to suffer.
Come.
And he had to learn obedience.
Right.
When he had to learn obedience, that I don't want to have to share. I don't want to have to lay down my life, but I have to. When I don't want to do something, but now I got to do it for the next person.
Right.
When I don't have, when I want to, I want to build my family. But I got to put this ministry out. So he had the obedience. I got to obey the scriptures and not my feelings. I got to obey the scriptures and not my thoughts. That's what made him perfect.
Wow.
And then it says, well, again, I'm going to read the verse.
But it says, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation of all.
He wrote the book on salvation.
God.
We don't be reading the book on salvation. Because that book of salvation was talking about the things you got to suffer.
So you can only be obedient
and
in the suffering.
Are you? Yes.
While
I'm suffering, am I still obedient to the scripture? While I'm suffering, am I still being obedient to the scriptures, to the work that my elders put me through?
Right, right.
This is what Christ had to go through and became the author of salvation. I don't know what books y'all was a lot of Dr. Seuss, a lot of Hollywood romance, a lot of whodunit. I don't even know what books y'all read. Y'all read, it's a lot of anime, I guess, right now. Because we don't be getting understanding about someone is trying to give you salvation.
Right.
Someone's trying to lead you on the path to salvation, but because you got something else in your head,
yep.
You're thinking that's unnecessary.
Come.
Why is it got to be this way? We said it,
yep.
And heard it. There's, yep, got to be an easier way. it can't be. That's the only way that it can be done.
And, you know, I'm like, we're starting to go through and kind of prove this out is that that's the one thing I think that has been the hardest thing for men to grasp is that the Most High is like rating you. It's like, I'm rating you in the suffering.
Right.
So I wasn't trying to make an environment where it was easier or it made sense because this really is the only point that I know that you're truly obedient. Anybody can be obedient with. If I'm sitting at home and I ain't doing much, of course I'm obedient.
What did Satan tell you? What did Satan tell the Most High? Of course you bless. Of course Job fears you.
Give him everything you want.
Give him everything. But touch him and see you know, he'll curse you to your face.
God, so it's like almost you're trying to prove obedience. I don't have to agree. Matter of fact, I'm supposed to put myself in that position of suffering.
God.
Because it's the only way the Most High truly knows if it's me and him, and I'm going to be judged.
Right.
I'm going to stand before the Father. How will I get Christ to say, well done?
That good people say.
What did you do good? Anybody can not eat pork.
True.
Anybody can...
Muslims don't eat pork.
God,
is Christ going to say to a Muslim, well done, Muhammad?
God, bro, you ain't... Listen, I'm faithful at the Sabbath day, but you ain't as faithful at the Sabbath day when somebody's in your ass or somebody checking you all of a sudden, you know, when you're in class. Man, you know what I... See, me and them brothers, we just don't see eye to eye.
Right. Hitler was a vegetarian, so Hitler didn't eat shrimp, shrimp, pork. Was a vegetarian. So is Christ gonna say, "Well done, now good and faithful servant"? She's a little shallow now. You gotta put in those perspectives on.
Right, but and we're not. At no point are we doubting the law.
No, we're not saying go eat pork.
Right.
Or
no. We're doubting. What we're saying is that there is a real path to leadership. Christ is laying out the blueprint
okay.
of this is how you know that you are truly obedient to the Most High and you are going to now follow in my footsteps. This is what I can say, well done, thy good and faithful servant.
Mm-hmm.
You've been faithful a few things. I'll make you rule over many. Enter into the
joy.
Right. This is the only time you'll get that. Because there had to be something that proved you only one place as gold is trying to fire. Sound good?
Okay.
You're going through it. As gold is trying to fire, so are acceptable men. You have to suffer to be able to now, in this condition, can I still stay obedient? So now, if it's a condition going on, or you're in a condition, and now you don't even come to class, or I won't subject myself to men. These men are my elders. And I won't subject myself to those men because of the things that they're making me do. Long nights. It's a long night to the mall. I don't want to subject to that. Long councils. Counseling y'all's up till 4 a.m. Like y'all have no consideration that I have to go to work. Suffer. Can you still suffer and be obedient? But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stay there in that council. Because that would be me doing what? Proving to the Most High that I'm obedient.
Okay.
What was you going to say?
I was going to say, First Peter.
First
Peter 2, the second chapter in the 21st verse. That Mashallah was making. It says, for even hereunto were ye called.
Go ahead.
Because Yahweh Shai also suffered us.
Now, stop it. That's what we keep trying to get around. We don't want to accept the fact that for our sake, that was the blueprint. The blueprint was suffering for us, still having to be obedient for us. So as a leader.
And suffering ain't because your YouTube got. Got suspended. Facebook banned you for what's that Facebook
called?
That's not suffering.
Nope.
That's not you really having to endure
the
working of the devil. Because you didn't get your 6,000 likes this week.
That ain't suffering. Suffering would have been listen, brother, even when I know you, man, we know with this long council, because I report here tomorrow night, bro. Report here tomorrow night. We're having class. You come to class? That shouldn't even been asked. Because I may have been upset, but I'm still going to be there.
Okay.
I'm still going to be in order. What's your rank? That's what I was love to ask them. What's your rank? That means for the rank that you are, that's why I'm trying to announce my rank. And, I backed up from the camp. No, you didn't. You don't want to submit. What you have a problem is you don't want to suffer to prove to the Father that you really are here for the body. Because that is the way Christ had to go down that road to prove that he was here for the body. I heard brother say, you know what? I backed up, I'm going to keep the unity, man. I'm going to shut up. I'm going to do this. That's not the unity. That's not what the body needed to see. The body needed you to still see the order that was there. The same way you was in order before and anything the camp asked you to do, you did it. They need to see that same thing.
Right.
Not you trying to, I'm going to go over here now. Right. So, all one like this. I'm going to start me a YouTube channel, man. We're going to be the horns of
Samaria.
We're going to get this truth out. He's like, well, what was y'all doing before? Weren't you just doing? Obviously, you were just doing the same thing because that's how you learned to do it in the first time place. But you were doing it in a time that you were submitting to the suffering that you were supposed to go through. To prove to the Father that you would still be obedient. I don't want our lives, a lot of disappearing acts. Like, but it's been gone for a long time. Yeah, I just didn't agree. Well, what didn't you agree on?
No, I'm still the truth.
And I'm glad you said that.
I still pray over my food.
I still keep the law. I still honor the Sabbath day. I don't have sex in my rib on the Sabbath. But what did you agree with?
Most Sabbaths.
So you said after all, well, tell me what didn't you agree with? Well, I just didn't agree with the program. I didn't agree with how brothers are getting dealt with and treated. Oh, you didn't agree with the suffering that every man was going to go through some type of to prove that he still was going to be obedient to the Father.
Okay.
So you just didn't agree. So what you're saying is, I didn't agree, even though Christ went through it. I didn't agree.
I'm gonna tell you something. You're gonna hear my words. The true thing about suffering something, it ain't gonna feel good to you. It ain't gonna feel right to you. But this one, you have to gauge if something was right or wrong. What was it doing for the body? What was it doing for the works? That's like brothers that don't agree with street speaking. I don't agree with we're on the corner, we just yelling at people. If a man had to step back for a minute and say, okay, y'all doing a whole lot of yelling out there, but there's a lot of people coming up in here. So at that point, you start looking at, well, I don't always have to agree, but I still got to now be obedient for the body's sake. Was there a lot of good happening for the body? I didn't say a lot of good happening for you. I just said, was there a lot of good happening for the work and for the body? Did I have to be obedient to that for the body's sake?
Right here. First Peter, second. I'm sorry. First Peter, chapter 13. Read. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake.
No, for what feels good to me.
For the Lord's sake.
No, go back. I'm supposed to submit to the what?
Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man.
So I have, but I don't agree. I'm thinking like every man that I talked to, they had an issue with the ordinance of that man. I didn't like how it felt to me. I didn't like how I was treated. Maybe the way you was treated and what was required of you was the best thing for the body.
How else would you learn obedience?
Right.
How else would you be perfected?
You
know what? The word you used when we first started this class, you said being tempered. How else do you get tempered in order to handle the hardness, the stress, the problems, the persecutions? If somebody's not getting you prepared, why else would it say, let the righteous smite me?
That's it.
It should be a kindness. Why else would it say open rebuke is better than secret love? How much of this world do you still have in your head that open rebuke is not better than secret love? How much of this world's mentality do you have that you're not going to let the righteous smite you, correct you? And mind you, I like it said, a rod for a pulls back. You like them old French movies or whatever, with the Three Musketeers, that, like Charlie Murphy said, when you would stop somebody had to die, that if you did something stupid, somebody would literally take a glove and slap the shit out of you. I mean, physical slap. Or a rod for a fool's back, there'd be a cane, a stick. Like when we watched the martial arts training movies, the sensei is walking through the lines, he got that bamboo stick, and you ain't in the horse stance, just proper. Pow! That was real. That's really how Israel dealt. But we got this religious thing in our minds that, well, if you got nothing nice to say, don't say nothing at all. You know what? I don't like the way he talks. I don't like the way he comes to that. Does he have to be so rough or so? Did he have to say it like that? Couldn't he say please? Couldn't he say thank you? But even Christ said what to that servant? Says, do you thank a servant for doing what he was told? Christ said, I trow not. No, you don't thank a servant for doing what he was told. But we got this white man, these feminine. Well, he had to speak that way? That's a real sign of disrespect. He shouldn't be talking to me that way. Just stop doing stupid shit. Just stop doing dumb things. But let me finish this. I'm giving it back.
No, I love it. This is bad.
Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. For the Lord's sake.
For the Lord's sake. Because that's what we keep forgetting. If this the judgment, shit, if they said, Barnabas, you got to go. If that's the judgment, that I got to submit to that, for who?
For the Lord's
for the Lord's
because
sake.
That's what this is about.
Did not David submit to Saul?
Good.
And Saul was literally trying to kill him.
Right.
Not just talking shit.
No.
Not just raise up some rumors. He was literally trying to kill David.
Come.
But what did David still do?
He had to submit.
He still
stayed in order.
For whose sake?
For the Lord's sake.
For the Most High's
Matter
sake.
Matter of fact, he even put the man to death
that
killed
Saul.
Because you don't touch the Most High's anointing.
What the fuck am I doing? If Saul was Christ, I'm going to cut Christ's garment?
Right.
And feel justified? No. But we feel we can do not obey,
submit.
I can go. You know what? I now have the justification to run and go do my own thing.
Yes.
So I don't have to submit, so I can just do my own thing.
And
Christ is still not going to be with you.
And you know what I like, Mustafa? It's a foolproof program. You know, why I say that is you can't hustle your way to this, man. Because there's no way you're going to squirm and stuff like that. You're going to feel uncomfortable. You're going to go through it when it's hard, when it's suffering, when it's sacrifices, when it's you're not getting praise. The Most High going to make you go there because I can't believe that you'll be it here. Like, even for his own son. I'm not going to take Christ being obedient until I do what? I want to see him suffering to see if he's really obedient. Joe, I want to see him suffering to really believe that he's obedient. And when I mean suffering, I'm like, you got to follow what these men tell you to do. You don't have to agree. I didn't tell you to agree. I told you to follow. So the brother said, man, you got to get to I need you at the mall. The Most High waiting to say, okay. Are you going to do what?
You going to submit?
What did he say to do? They're like, is Christ doing this thing? What did he say to do? Well, Lord, I'm following you. Well, what did he say to do? Well, Lord, I'm worshiping you. Well, what did he say to do?
I ain't following him.
Well, then you ain't following me. Because I'm waiting for you. I'm waiting to see, are you going to do what he told you to do?
In obeying me.
Oh, man, come on. See, we need to figure out how to get this time going good. Because that's what the show is, the right time. Like, we have to scratch our head.
Yeah,
like,
things make you go,
You know what? And I've been making sure that I stay away from men so can't nobody tell me what to do. I'm going to personally make sure that I'm going to quarantine and make my life. I stopped answering the phone. Well, Howard, why didn't you do what he told you to do? He never told you what to do. He didn't call me.
Right.
He came to my house. But you purposely do that to exclude yourself so no one can tell you what to do.
Okay.
And that right there is what the Father's looking for.
Keep me real quick.
Yeah, go ahead. I'll be killing
you. Real quick. All right. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man. For the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king, or unto governors, just go through the list, go ahead. As unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. Wow, was that it? That's it for the 14. You want 13 and 14?
What's 14 say?
That was 14.
What's 15 say?
15 says, for so is the will of the Most High.
Right on time.
With well-doing, ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. That well-doing. So well done. Now good and faithful service.
Come,
this is the well-doing.
And that's how you prove to the Father that you are submissive. That's how you prove to the Father that you really are doing what's right in his eyes. Because I was able to now, the whole time he's sitting there, what did he tell you to do? Because you're trying to get around that. You have elders. What did they tell you to do? You thought you was going to be able to be in this room, but ain't nobody going to be over me to tell me what to do?
When David had Uriah say, when David had Joab say Uriah to be killed, when Joab obeyed David, the Most High didn't hold that against Joab. He held that against David. Even though Joab was the captain, he was there, he obeyed the king. He didn't get in trouble for that.
Right.
When David decided, I'm the king and I'm going to have a census, David, we're not supposed to have a census. I'm the king.
Right.
Don't go to war with the mighty man.
Like, cool.
You're the king. The Most High didn't get or attack or punish Joab for obeying David at that time. And David was off.
Yep.
When did Joab get punished by the Most High? Get punished? When Joab killed Abner, moving on his own. Remember, Abner's that Abner was the captain of the host of Saul's army. And then David made
a covenant
with Abner. Joab was like, no, he's going to take my position. And then he killed my brother. I'm justified in killing him. That's when Joab marked his own death. He took matters in his own hands. But as long as he obeyed, that wasn't on him. That's on the leadership. That was 100% on the leadership.
And it's a dangerous thing. I'm trying to realize that we're reading. It's a dangerous thing to put yourself in a position where can't nobody correct you. Because if I can't be corrected, I also can't be instructed so that I can prove that I am obedient to the Father. Because if all we get back down, Christ will say, well done, because you did what this man told me to do. If I put myself in a position where no man can tell me what to do, I can't do what's well in the eyes of my father. We read that. It ain't my thinking. This ain't just our philosophy. We got to submit to the same thing. I got to submit to the fact that brother going to say, man, listen, why don't you do this? Why did you consider this? Why you just didn't do it this way? Come, you right? Let me do it that way. Let me do that.
For the Lord's sake.
Thank you.
Not just man pleasing.
Not man pleasing. Because the Father is judging that.
Do I know, if I'm obeying this man, do I know I'm obeying this man? Only because I like how he talks? The scripture says, not only to the good, but also to the forward. I'm supposed to obey also the forward.
God.
The one that rubs me the wrong way.
Yes, man.
I'm supposed to obey him also for the Lord's sake. But we really got this cult of personality thing going on. I'm only going to listen to the person who talks easy, soft, tells me what I want to hear. That's the only one I'm fucking. Otherwise, my spirit is telling me that he's out the spirit. And the purpose of this class wasn't to manipulate people to obey.
No.
To just make them obey. Shit, these classes scare me.
Right.
Because, again, the scripture says to himself, much is given, much is required. When you're in a position of leadership and you lead the sheep astray, you better go back and read Ezekiel 34, 35, 36. You better read Jeremiah 25. If you're leading the Most High sheep astray, I feel for you.
And you know what I'm getting from this, something that scares me is that as men, we've gotten good at justifying and having a reason why I stopped following someone. And if it's about you having to still go through something and be obedient, there is no right and wrong. If this elder was seeing something, and I take it, and we can take it back to the time Vision of the Truth and all y'all had camps being built, and he was moving men around. And a lot of men did not like leaving their home.
Nope.
Matter of fact, they turned, there was a lot of that spirit of turning against him because he was taking me from my family, he was doing this and that. But the camps were taken off.
Okay.
So a lot of brothers just disliked that. They were looking for something to discredit him because of the changes and the sacrifices and the things that they'd have to go through and do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not going to praise no man to say Every man don't have his flaw.
True.
And every man didn't have whatever he, of course we all have. We born in sin. Now, we all have flaw. But the thing that got me was you could go back and see how the things that he was asking for really only did the it benefited the camps. It really didn't benefit the individual. And that was a lot of fed a lot of anger in men, and we watched it. And every man had a justifiable reason of why he stopped doing the work. But all he did was justify the reason why not to be obedient. And that was the thing. Man, it's because obedience is better than sacrifice.
Yeah.
That's the one thing the Father's trying to figure out. You may not agree. It may be uncomfortable. Hell, it's supposed to be. Because I proved Christ here. I'm proving you here. This is what I'm waiting for you to go through so that when you still are obedient, then I can say, okay, yeah, well done. Well, they're telling you, you know what I'm saying? Well done. Okay, now I can see the true obedience in you. Because it's easy to obey when it's all good. We sit at home watching Netflix. We're the most obedient brothers in the world. Of course you're obedient. When now all of a sudden it's time to sacrifice for the body or the camp or your nation, and now you don't get to just do the things that you like to do and do it the way you want to do it.
This is the understanding that we get when the Heavenly Father said that it pleased him when Christ was bruised, because that showed his obedience,
right,
and his dedication to what he would do for the whole nation of Israel.
I mean, unless you got something else, man. I mean, that was nice. You know what I'm saying? There was a lot of understanding being brought out, man. A lot to go back and really ponder and really look into yourself enough to say, hey, you know what? Yes, I know the law, but am I really obedient? And if you, a brother or sister, sitting on a couch by yourself, or you a family, and your circle is just you and your family, that's not obedience. Because you're not putting yourself in a condition to where I have to now just do it.
Submit.
Just go ahead, yeah. Just submit. I like what you made about David, right? And Samuel, or not Samuel, but Nathan, or it was Joab. Somebody you just got to say where he followed David, even when David was off, he followed. A lot of men don't really understand that. You know, we didn't always agree. Men don't want to go. They might not want to drive. I mean, we had an ETA back in the summer.
Nobody
wants to fucking drive straight through
from
all the time.
That's from across the city. From Oklahoma, California. You got an ETA.
Now the time you hate it, the day made the GPS. You hate the GPS. You turn the GPS off. I just blew my turn the GPS off. You had 10 hours to get there. I'm like, God. You hit the road. Truck break down. You better be up. You got ETA. You better be there. You did a lot of prayer and spirit, man, but you went. You were getting comfortable. Damn, I'm trying to nurse. And it would seem like you would get the orders. Yeah, you got to ship out. Listen, brother. Oh, listen, we need you to report over here. I remember going to Roku and they were trying to set up at a river in Albuquerque. She's like, I'm going to join the military. I'm going to be in Oklahoma. So I'm like, you know what? Get the capital, Oklahoma, man.
God.
This might work out. Because I was told, yeah, we're going to have you go to Oklahoma. I was like, hell yeah. I'm going to beat the system. I got no road like driving to Oklahoma. The brother said, hey, we need you to stop in San Antonio. And I never left San Antonio. I lost the rib. She went on. We met, got another man, everything. But there was a second. They needed me here. Or in San Antonio, not where I was planning to go to. So she got mad, left the whole line. But I had a choice. Either you can go on to Oklahoma with this woman, or you can be obedient to where you're needed. Now, we ain't together, but the choice was to be obedient. I didn't need to understand it. It was me being sent and now me doing what the body needed. And then I don't get be the one to predict or to assume what the body needs. That is the responsibility of the elder that's running the camp. His job is to figure out what the body needs. Whatever he decided, that the body needs. His job ain't to explain to me what the body needs. My job is to submit to what the body needs. With that, man.
So with that, thank you everybody for tuning in. I want you to tune in tonight live on this Tuesday night. Or you might be listening to one of the archive shows. We appreciate your support. And again, please don't forget to check us out on ISBHBK Houston, Norfolk, San Antonio. Check us out here on Blog Talk and support us. All right, support us in what we got going on as we really are trying to help raise up the nation. So the nation can get up out of this captivity. All right, when you consider our nation, ain't just those living here in America, and but you go down to Mexico, how many of them are living in, I mean, straight poverty? How many of them are living down in Brazil, Guatemala? And I mean, literally, you think you're suffering because your car broke down, you really don't understand. How many people are trying to fentanyl for the first time tonight? Because they're trying to escape their lives. How many young girls are getting kidnapped right now and turned sex trafficking right now? So a lot of times we think we're suffering. A lot of times we think we're going through something. We're not really looking at reality. That we have a nation of people that need salvation. We have people who really need salvation. And again, salvation ain't because you got your credit score up. Salvation is not because you're driving the latest car. Salvation is not because you got a bigger house. Our people are suffering. Living in here in New Mexico, Albuquerque, the reservations are right around the corner. And you can go out there and see some real suffering. And these are our people. So with that, we do want to thank everybody for tuning in. And check us out. Tomorrow is Wednesday. Most likely, we'll see. We'll see about Blog Talk. We're going to check the schedule and see how things are going. But show support. Get in and help out.
It's the water for everything. Shalom.
You see in the episode?
Yeah.
You see the arrow?
Oh, yeah. Come on, arrow. There it is.
Yeah.